Romans chapter 12. Appreciate the meditations today. Good stuff. Some of us grew up differently, you know, like Joel said, some, what'd you say, goody two shoes and some rough and tumble. Yeah. So I grew up in Florida on the rough streets of Disney World. And so those Disney gangs they're tough. Mickey Mouse looks nice, but you get him in a dark alley and, you know, not good. Not good. All right, Romans chapter 12. We got a short verse today, but again, you know, one of the things that we're kind of always come back to with the scripture is how much information God can pack into a very small space. Okay, I mean, just phenomenally rich. And this one is verse 13. It's you know, again, what Paul's doing in this little section starting in verse 9 is he has stated, he's defined what love is. You know, New American Standard says, let love be without hypocrisy. That's actually not a super great translation. The proper translation there is love is without hypocrisy. So he's defining what love actually is. He's not saying that you can have love with hypocrisy, so don't do that. He's saying love is without hypocrisy, and then he's actually defining what that looks like throughout the rest of the passage. Because they're all participles out through the rest of this passage, and that's showing continued action, showing this is how you demonstrate an unhypocritical love. In the last little one, he mentions here, well, at least in this little section, he continues to do it later. He says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So, again, as normal, there's a lot, and I don't think we'll get through this whole thing today, but I'll probably just kind of do an overview and then kind of break it out more specifically for time's sake next week. But that word for contributing is an interesting concept. It means, it's the word koinonia. It means fellowship or share. Okay? So, when we think of fellowship, what do we normally have a tendency to think about? What's that, Brian? No. I'm not going to say Lord of the Rings. Now, when we think of church fellowship, food. Yeah, food, exactly. Meals, you know, we call them fellowship meals or whatever the case is. And so is that what Paul's talking about here? You know, making sure that, you know, everybody's got food. Well, that could be part of it. That could be part of it. But notice that word he's using. He doesn't say helping out saints in need. He says here, the New American Standard says contributing, but literally the word is fellowshipping or sharing in the needs of the saints. See, there aren't many things that bring us closer together than helping each other out in times of need. You know, in a lot of ways in America, you know, because of the unbelievable wealth that this country has, sometimes we can get a little bit cynical. You know, for example, let me turn my ringer off here because my daughter's texting, but she's an hour behind and she's on break, so that's why she's texting. She's not texting during her assembly time, but it always pops up and messes my notes up, so I gotta turn it off. You know, every time I drive out of the grocery store or I'm at an intersection in Richmond, there's typically somebody there with a sign. And then there's a sign above them that the cities and the counties have put up that says, basically, don't give to panhandlers. And then they're there and you know, they're, and so I get kind of cynical a lot of times because a lot of those folks have a network and they're connected, and I've seen the cars that they drive. They're nicer than mine. They make really good money, a lot of them, in doing that. So sometimes it's hard to see where the needs are for someone who's genuinely in need versus someone who's just, you know, maybe they're a drug addict and they're going to use that money that you're giving them to go buy some heroin or something along those lines. And some of the drugs that are out there now, they make heroin, you know, look like caffeine, and you know they're really, really bad stuff that's out there. So you know you don't want to help somebody, you know, go down that road. So sometimes it's really difficult to know that. Versus times I've been in India or Belarus or Jamaica. Not that I've never been to Jamaica in the touristy parts. I've always been in like Kingston, where you're not allowed to go out by yourself. And you see the poverty that's in places like that. That's legit poverty. I've never seen poverty like that anywhere in the United States. And I've been in, you know, we all have been in, you know, some bad sections of where people have lived and stuff. And so it's easy in America to get kind of cynical. But I think, you know, and Dale's kind of even brought that out a little bit in his message this morning, you know, that's not going to stay the same for very long. You know, there are forces at work that are purposely, expressly designed to cripple us financially. Those forces are at work. You know, my background's in finance. I was in the financial world for 20 some odd years. And I've never seen things like this as tenuous as they are. You know, a lot of America's wealth has been based upon the fact that we were the world's reserve currency. And that is quickly and aggressively being done away with. And we're talking about inflation like post-World War II German inflation. We're talking about even beyond what they saw in Venezuela several years ago. The amount of inflation that could be coming to this country to where the needs of the saints are going to be very, very real right around the street from us, you know, right with the folks we're looking at. So this concept of contributing to the needs, this is where real relationship, this is where real sharing, this is where real fellowship gets to happen. Getting together for meals, that's all great stuff, and we do that often, and it's, you know, we're going to do it on the 23rd here for Amy and Josh when you know, celebrate their new baby coming. There's all kinds of great things that we get to do to help take care of each other. Or to fellowship with each other. But we're going to have to be able to step that up and really dive deep with our fellowship and really help take care of each other. And the one thing, I know Jaden mentioned this in his stewardship meditation last week. I don't think that's going to be a stretch. Because there's already that love and care and concern. I think we're going to be able to do that, and we're going to do it with joy. I really do. I really do. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to be a sacrifice. But that's where real fellowship happens. You know, and it's going to flow into this next thing that we're going to talk about here. And again, so next week what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually go back and we're going to dive in deep to this concept of fellowship. And what I want to do is I've got it all listed out, all the different areas that we fellowship in that God tells us to share with one another. Or the things that we're supposed to share in. So we'll dive into that next week. I want to also hit the second half of this real quick before we run out of time this morning. Practicing hospitality. Now, two words in Greek, you could preach a whole series on this, on these two words. They're so full of meaning. The word for hospitality is from the Greek word philos and xenos. We hear the word xenophobic, people being afraid of strangers or aliens. That's where that word comes from. It literally means the love of strangers. That's what hospitality means. The love of strangers. Isn't that exactly the opposite of how most people act? I mean, what do we teach our kids? Rightfully so. Stranger danger. Yeah. Rightfully so. And the one thing that's really important is to help them to realize what a stranger actually is. Because sometimes, you know, kids think strangers, they're people that are really scary looking and they're going to, no, you want to see my puppy? You know, that's, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, you know, don't get into cars with people, you know, even if they have a puppy in there and they want you to play. Like, because one of the kids up the road from my place got abducted when I was a kid. So, you know, bad stuff. But we're supposed to show love for strangers. We're supposed to show love for strangers. Now, more specifically, warmth or friendliness to strangers, the readiness to share hospitality or generosity by entertaining in one's home. And notice it's in the connection with contributing to the needs of the saints. So what Paul is doing here is he's not saying that we just open everything up to every stranger that comes in. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the saints that we don't know. Do you know all the saints? I don't know all the saints. Now, do we also show hospitality and help care for people who might be in need, who aren't necessarily Christians? Absolutely. That's a great opportunity for us. But we have to use wisdom. We have to use wisdom. But when it comes to the context of what he's talking about, he's specifically talking about, you know, practicing hospitality, contributing to the needs of the saints. Those two things are connected together. Okay. Now, let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 1, and you'll see the context. It's very similar to the context we just read. He says, let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners, as though in prison with them. See, this is in the context of the saints. And when he's talking about entertaining angels, he's probably referencing back to the time Abraham received some angels and some strangers that came, and he got to find out about what was going on with Sodom. And then he's probably also talking about Lot bringing those two angels into his house, because he knew what was going to happen if those guys stayed the night in the square, because Sodom was a horrible place. That's why it was going to get destroyed. And what did he end up doing? He ended up entertaining angels. Okay, it doesn't mean that they're going to perform a little, you know, song and dance for you, you know, and have a show. That's not what that means. It means taking care of people and help protect them. That was the culture back then. See, we get the opportunity to help show hospitality to people in the church that we've never met. And I tell you what, that's where some of my deepest relationships have ever been formed. Getting, you know, having people that we don't know staying in our home, or me being, you know, our family being out traveling, or me traveling and staying in people's homes that I've never met in my life. It's kind of weird. Right? It's kind of weird. You've never met these people, and you're going to go stay in their house, sleep in their bed, eat their food. I mean, wow. This is what separates Christians. Normally, those types of things are only reserved for family and very close friends. But guess what? Saints are family. Saints are family. In fact, they're closer than physical family. Spiritual blood is closer than physical blood. Because the physical blood ties are going to break one day, and the spiritual blood ties are going to be stable for eternity. So, I mean, I could tell you, it doesn't mean that the hospitality is always going to go well. But that's part of the fun. I'm not going to embarrass people, but it's nobody in this room, trust me. But there's a brother, a family in Christ from another state. I'm not even going to say what state they're in because I don't want anyone to know that, you know, what's going on. But there was kind of a mishap. They didn't necessarily know I was staying, and so I got, you know, put up in a situation where the wife of the house was kind of embarrassed to have me in the situation. Because they didn't necessarily have, you know, a nice room to give to me. And I didn't really know these folks I mean, we knew each other a little bit, but this was years and years ago. But because that was so funny and we teased each other back and forth about it so much, it just created this bond where we're actually so incredibly tight now. Because it was a less than ideal situation. I didn't care. They were, you know, she was the one that was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I don't care. It was great. It was wonderful. I was perfectly happy with it. And so he's come down and stayed with us down in Florida. Yeah, he'll know who I'm talking about when he hears this. But y'all won't. So that's good. So, you know, maintain the privacy, keep that intact. But to this day, we still constantly joke about that. And it's part of one of the things that's knit us together very, very tightly. It's a great thing. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just share what you have. And you come together and it creates fellowship. Now, here's the intensity. This word practicing, you might think, oh, okay, this is practice, you know, just something we get to do when we have the opportunity, when it arises, I'll show it. Mm-mm, that's not what that word means. You know what that word means? To put to flight, persecute, pursue with all haste. To aggressively chase like a hunter pursuing a catch. Earnestly pursue, earnestly desire to overtake. It's mostly used of persecuting. That doesn't mean you want to bring people into your house to persecute them. It's not the point. It's not the purpose. It's the action by which we go after the ability to show hospitality. Yes, if it falls into our lap, great. But what the Apostle Paul is actually saying here, he wants us to aggressively pursue the opportunity to show hospitality. So, want to know some of the other things? So, most of the time in the scripture, this word pursue or practice is used negatively of persecuting. A few times it's used positively. For example, Romans 14:19, we're supposed to pursue the things for peace. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, we're supposed to pursue love. How aggressively is the Christian supposed to pursue love? What, unrelenting, right? How aggressively is the Christian supposed to pursue peace? Again, unrelenting. See? What about Paul in Philippians 3:12-14? He is to pursue toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ, the resurrection from the dead. This upward call of Christ, how aggressively is the Christian to pursue that? We're supposed to pursue the good for one another. We're in 1 Timothy 6:11, we're supposed to pursue righteousness. How aggressively are we supposed to pursue righteousness? And out of all the times that it's used positively, there's only one place that it's used as a participle, which is emphasizing the continual action of aggressively pursuing. Guess which one that is? It's not love. It's not peace. It's not righteousness. It's hospitality. It's the only place in the Bible that this is used to show continual, almost obsessive pursuit of something we're supposed to do for somebody else. The only other time it's used in a participle form, again, emphasizing the aggressive ongoing nature of it, is Paul when he's persecuting the church as Saul. How aggressively was Saul persecuting the church? Going from town to town, aggressively looking for people to imprison and kill. So he's saying, as much as I was doing that, we need to be doing this. Aggressively pursuing the opportunity to show hospitality. Now, the question really boils down to this. Why? Why are we supposed to aggressively pursue the opportunities to show hospitality? Well, did God aggressively pursue the opportunity to show hospitality to us? How do we show that we love God? By loving the brethren, right? We show that we love God by doing what he says, but a lot of times what he says, by this we love God, by we love the brethren. We love the brethren, thereby we know we love God. What's one of the easiest ways for us to show, and one of the most impactful ways for us to show that we love the brethren and therefore love God? By practicing hospitality, because quite honestly, it's kind of weird. It's kind of uncomfortable. But when we get in the habit of doing it, the relationships that are formed are so much deeper than the casual relationships you have. I mean, there's people that you see in family camps or maybe in different, you know, situations. And you get to talk to them a little bit, and you've got a kind of a, you've got a relationship, but it's kind of superficial. If you only talk to them, you know, a couple times a year. You stay in each other's homes. You share what you have with them. That relationship gets a lot deeper. And it gets a lot deeper really quickly. That's one of the things I really love about y'all. You know, when we have our family camps, hospitality is shown all over the place. And I thank you for that. I mean, think about the kind of relationships that you've been able to form with people. And at family camps, it's kind of crazy because you actually don't see each other very much. You know, as much as I've gotten to know the cooks, you know where I've gotten to know the cooks more than any place, even though we both live in Virginia? Sitting around Jeff McGraw's living room at Lancaster Family Camp, because we stay at the same house. The kids have gone to bed. It's quiet, especially the first night, you know. That's where I got to have the most amazing chocolate chip cookies I've ever had in my life. I still dream about those cookies. And my wife is so confident that she's okay that I just said that. Because she's had those cookies and she knows. That sets the stage for other types of fellowship. That's where I got to know Barry and Robin really well too. Sitting around McGraw's living room. We're just talking. Well, we've missed Robin the last couple of years, and that's been sad. You know, a lot of the people that I've gotten to know and gotten tight with, that comes from being able to be in the homes of other people. And I thank you for doing that. Because it's different. It's outside comfort zones. But that's what Christians do. And it has the added benefit of getting us to be tight with each other. So thank you for doing that. And as things get kind of tighter as we move forward, the work of the kingdom is still going to have to go on. And the practicing of hospitality is going to be even more needed as we go forward. So any ways that we can still excel still more in these areas, let's figure out ways to do that. But thank you very much for the extent that you've done it. And I pray that we can continue to do that moving forward. So next week, we'll dive into the first part of that, the fellowshipping aspect, a little bit more, because I wasn't able to hit everything. But I definitely wanted to hit all that stuff just kind of in an overview before we stop today. So let's go ahead and close out with a word of prayer, and we'll be on our way today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all the things that you've blessed us with. We thank you so much, Father, for the truth that you have laid out for us in scriptures. Father, I thank you for sometimes the commands that might not seem too complicated on the surface, but as we dig in a little bit, Father, there's a lot there. And Father, yeah, you do ask us to go outside of our comfort zone and to show that kind of hospitality and to share in the needs of the saints. But Father, what it does is exactly what Joel was talking about first hour, which is create that unity that doesn't get broken, that stays strong. Because when we share of ourselves with others, we do knit ourselves together with them even tighter. So I thank you for the things that you've asked us to do and have told us to do and have commanded us to do that have that end result of bringing the body closer, of helping us, Father, to empty of ourselves and to give. And I pray, Lord God, that we would continue to do that with joy and to aggressively seek for the opportunities to make that happen. We love you, Lord God. Pray that you guide us and direct us this week. Bless our efforts for you. It's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.